He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I have seen the Lord. That's my message today, title. May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Pastor was driving along with his five-year-old in the car, and they passed a local cemetery. Of course, five-year-olds sometimes have a totally different perspective on life than we do who are so knowledgeable about things, right? He noticed a large pile of dirt besides a newly excavated grave. And the boy pointed it out and said, "Look, Dad, one got out." One did indeed get out. Jesus is risen from the dead. In previous Easters, when I preached the Word of God, I often marshaled all the evidence and the facts that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And there are a lot of facts that surround it, of course. But this time, this year, I want to revel in the story. Just revel in it. You will either believe it or you won't, right? And if you believe it, it will show up in your life. Guaranteed. So there are three simple things I want to do in this message. First, we will look at the account through the our own imaginations as if we were there, transported to Jerusalem in 33 AD, and experience all that Mary, Peter, and John experienced. Then, number two, I will ask, how does this affect you? Affect with an A. How does it make you feel that Jesus rose from the dead? And then thirdly and finally, I'll ask, what kind of person do you want to be because he rose from the dead? So for just a moment, close your eyes. Everybody close their eyes. Women, imagine you are Mary Magdalene. And men, if you're over 50, imagine you're Peter. If you're under 50, you're John. You got it? Open your eyes. We're there. We're there. We're there in 33 AD. We love Jesus, but we're a pretty demoralized bunch because we've seen him crucified. We know he's dead. All three of us have seen Jesus do miracles or experience miracles. Mary, you Marys, you were delivered from seven demons. And Peter and John, well, they saw countless miracles. They saw the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. They saw thousands of fed with just a few pieces of bread and some fish, 5,000, 4,000. And they saw a man walk out of the grave at Jesus' command. They saw all of that. Now the women head to the tomb of Jesus and find the stone is rolled away. You run, you Marys run to tell Peter and John. Men, you hear the news and you run to the tomb. Younger men, John, under 50, you outrun Peter. But you stop at the tomb. And here comes Peter, huffing and puffing. And he gets to the tomb and he goes right in. And then John follows, and they both know that the body is not there. What happened? You don't understand. Could it be? Your hearts are racing. Could it be? Mary stays put, and she's crying. You want to cry? Can we have a little participation here? She cries. It's all been too much. She sees two angels dressed in white. How do you know they're angels? Well, if you see two men or two women dressed in white at a cemetery, and they might even have wings, you know they're angels, right? But they would know they're angels, you women, especially when you hear the angels speak. The angels ask, "Why are you weeping?" You tell them that someone took Jesus out of the tomb and you don't know where he is. You hear someone behind you and you turn and you face a man. with your watery eyes and your grief and your despondency, you don't recognize him. But Jesus calls your name, Mary, and it's electric. It's Jesus. And you grab hold of him and you smother him in kisses and you're clinging to him. And after a time, Jesus says very gently, Mary, let go of me. And go tell the disciples that I'm alive. She runs and runs quickly to find the disciples and tell them the news. And when you find them, Mary utters five of the most exciting words that have ever been spoken upon this planet. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. A Baptist church in Bangladesh was showing a film about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was filled with people. All the children were gathered in the front. All the adults were in the back. These were people who had never heard the gospel before, never. As the story of Jesus' crucifixion unfolded and Jesus' broken body was placed in the tomb, there were gasps and their cries out. There was emotional response to it all. As the affected audience watched, a young boy suddenly spoke up. Don't be afraid. He gets up again. I've seen it before. Kind of ruined it, but I mean. Can we be ho-hum about it? About the resurrection? Have we lost the exhilaration, the excitement, the passion, the pure delight that knowing that Jesus has risen again? I think there's two reasons why we could. One is we've heard it all before. The message is kind of passé. Every year, yeah, we believe it. Yeah, we believe it. Jesus rose from the dead. Okay. But we've heard it all before, and it's just like, okay, what does that mean for tomorrow, you know? Maybe we don't ask that, but we think it. But I think there's even more important reason why it becomes so less exciting, less passionate to hear that Jesus is risen from the dead. Because we haven't taken our sin seriously. It hasn't terrorized us. And therefore, the good news of Jesus isn't so sweet and it isn't so desperately needed. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and following, it says this, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And I bet you just heard that list and you say, well, I'm not one of those. And you misunderstand. If you knew the word of God, it says those who in their heart have pride and lust and those kinds of things, greed, and those who don't do things they should do, you're on the list. And if you're on the list, you're going to hell. It means that the resurrection should be exciting to you. Jesus paid for those sins when he died on the cross. And the resurrection is the sign that the Father has accepted the sacrifice. And you're not going to hell. So part two, how does this affect you? Affect you. How do you feel about it? In the classic novel, The Robe, maybe you've seen the movie, The Robe, Lloyd C. Douglas has a character named Marcellus who'd become fascinated by Jesus. He sent letters to his fiancée, Diana, in Rome. He told her about Jesus' teaching and his miracles, and then about the crucifixion and the resurrection. Finally, he informed her, that he decided to become a disciple of Jesus. In her letter of response, Diana said, What I feared was that it might affect you. It's a beautiful story. Let it remain so. We don't have to do anything about it, do we? And the answer to her question is, yes, we have to do something about it. Absolutely, we have to do something about it. We have to make up our minds. Is the resurrection the truth or a lie? If it is truth, it's the most important moment that ever happened in the history of the world. And it calls us to a very special kind of life here and now, a life of following Jesus. You know, many of us have a German background. Lutherans, a lot of Lutherans are German, Scandinavian too. And Germans are distrustful of emotion. Now, I'm German too. I have German background. But I find it interesting that when Jesus reinstated Peter, he asked him, Peter who had denied him three times, he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? The love Jesus was asking for was more than emotional gushing. I'll grant you that. But it was definitely also called for an emotional acknowledgement. In the end, Jesus is asking, Peter, do you really love me like your own brother, like your own flesh and blood? Do you have affection for me? Do you love me, Peter? What if Jesus asked you the same question? Do you love me? Do you really love me? You know, as much as Jesus wants your mind, he wants your heart just as much. If you love someone, if you truly, truly love someone, would you ever be embarrassed to acknowledge that publicly and declare it? So let's say you and your husband and wife go to a party and you don't know a whole lot of people and you just say, well, this is my date. This is the woman I brought with me. Later on, you're going to pay for that. I mean, you're going to pay. Right. But you wouldn't do that, would you? No, this is my husband, this is my wife, you know. You acknowledge that this person is special to you. It's not just a person attached to you, right? You love them. Well, we love Jesus. We want to be associated with him. We want to hear his word and understand what it means. We want to worship him. We want to be the kind of people with the kind of people who also love him. And we want people we love to love him too. Part three, what kind of person do you want to be? Something tremendous has happened to us. Through the eyes of faith, we have seen the Lord. Through the eyes of faith, we've seen that he died for us, that he rose for us. Out of the grave, he came for us. And he called us by name so we can recognize it. Rich, you belong to me. Nancy, you belong to me. Sam, you belong to me. Jack, you belong to me. Jennifer, you belong to me. We have a lot of Larrys in the church. Larry, all of you, you belong to me. Salvation is a free gift. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But what kind of person do you want to be because you have received that gift? In Ephesians chapter 5, it reads, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then in 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says that we are the aroma of Christ. He gave us a fragrant offering, and now we're the aroma of Christ. Let me put it bluntly. We're not supposed to stink. We're supposed to have a sweet-smelling smell about ourselves. We are the fragrance that attracts people to Christ. Let me ask you something. Do people want to be around you? Are you an attractive person? And I don't mean physically. You know what? Because God doesn't care about physical attractiveness. He doesn't. Are you an attractive person? You know, I've known some really great looking people who are very unattractive. Have you? You know? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is about giving us new life, a new aroma, so that we can do a new work. If you have seen the Lord, and by that I mean you by faith know what He has done for you, then you have some decisions to make about your life. You have now relinquished control to the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 9, and you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You need to throw out some things of your life, and you need to import some other things into your life. What do you need to throw out of your life? Well, and what do you need to import? Are you an irritable person? Are you a judgmental person? I'm going to hit one of you here. Are you a self-centered person? Is there a hint of sexual immorality about you? Are you steeped in pornography? Are you a gossip? Are you a defamer? Are you a maligner of other people? Are you an angry person? And when you're on the road, does rage fill up in your heart and mind and in the pedal? Right? And I could go on a long time. But listen, as the Bible puts it, we have learned of Christ, meaning we can put off the old life and put on the new one. You can change. You can reconstruct your life. You may be 89 years old. It's not too late. You can change by the power of the Holy Spirit, by cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and you can reconstruct it. It's time to import this fruit of the Spirit and let it grow within you. Imagine you more loving, more joyful, and more patient person. Imagine that. Imagine you have a peaceful calm when everything goes wrong. Imagine that. Wouldn't you like to be that kind of person? Picture a person who once knew the old you, and now they see the convicted you, convicted in all the good ways. Not the bad ways, the good ways. Yes. Picture you now majoring in goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can change. We've seen the Lord just like Mary, Peter, and John, and nothing is the same anymore. Nothing. The effect, the feeling is overwhelming. And now we strive to be the person we were always meant to be. Always. Jesus got out of the grave and into our lives. There's no greater joy, no greater happiness to be had on this earth, and we have need to celebrate it. For He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We have seen the Lord. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.